what we determined, we're going to look at Andy Croft out of, how do you say that town again?
Larmer.
Larmer, Iowa, the Mennonites background. We're going to have them give us a more full bid up to finishing. So that we'll have those numbers as soon as they get back. And Dave's got a lot of work as he's kind of the footman for this one. So just kind of give you an update on where we're at with the facility. That's kind of the latest there. And as the numbers come in and that kind of thing, we'll keep you updated. All right. Go back to Luke chapter 1. So take your Bible, go to Luke 1. After a few weeks, it'll just flop open to this particular book, and we'll be there easily. And we're going to read verses 18 through 25. We didn't get those last week, so we'll look at that this week. So Luke 1, verses 18 through 25. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring to you good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, okay, making signs to them, and he remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." It's a great story. And there's great depth in it. And I believe, as we look at the Gospel of Luke, and I've always believed that if we read the Scriptures enough, we study the Scriptures enough, talk the Scriptures enough, you will see how they impact current issues of the day. And I really believe that this can, even this passage, and you think, well, gosh, it's the Christmas story. Well, yeah, sort of. But I think there's real depth in just the angel talking to Zechariah here. This is our second pair of people that we looked at. We looked, first of all, at Luke and Theophilus, the author of the Gospel of Luke, and the recipient of the Gospel of Luke. Theophilus was the intended target of this particular book, but it was for the larger audience of the church at large throughout history. So it's amazing how God has already got this all in mind ahead of time, and how he allows us to see these kind of things and keep it as accurate as possible to our weak little minds. Now, what I'd like to do is reveal a little bit of last week and really the point of the Gospel of Luke. And it's pretty easy. The point of the Gospel of Luke is summed up in one word, and it's a person's name. Jesus. That's exactly right. It's the Sunday school answer that actually works. So, but as we look at it, we see woven throughout this whole Gospel, or this wonderful account of the life of Christ, is the love of God proven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, you know, throughout all of history, and there's been a lot of black spots on you know, Christianity, like during the time of the Crusades, and I tell you, that is no representation of Christ at all. That was just disgusting if you look at the history of the Crusades. And to really understand what Christianity is, you have to look at the Gospels. You have to look at the person of Christ, because that's who began all of this. So as we look back, especially verses 5 through 17, we found out who Herod was. And it was Herod the Great who reigned. That was just a couple of trivia questions in history. You didn't think you were going to be tested on this, did you? When did Herod the Great reign in Judea or Israel at that time? Remember the years? Yeah, around around 37 or 40 B.C. to 4 B.C. Okay? And how many wives did he have?
All of them.
He had all of them. He had too many.
Yeah.
He had 10. And got rid of some of them. And some of his children. He was not a nice guy. He was a tyrant. And if he didn't like you, they didn't hear much from you after that. So that's sort of the world that John the Baptist here was born into. All right? It was not, you know, real. It wasn't all peace and joy at that particular time. Then we meet Zechariah and Elizabeth, a wife, a couple who were fairly old, but they walked blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, according to verse 6 of chapter 1. And we understood also that Zechariah, being a priest, he had to be from the tribe of Levi through Aaron, and so did his wife. That was just the requirement that God had put on the priesthood of Israel at that particular time. In fact, that's how they follow it today, I believe. So they were. He was serving as priest before God, according to verse 8. He had once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to burn incense before God. This was his opportunity, and it was God-driven. And we remember that according to custom at that time, there was a chain on his ankle. And he wasn't chained to the altar of incense. He was chained to the people outside just in case something happened. And we looked at Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, Nadab and Abihu, who were sons of Aaron, who did not put the right type of incense and wave it before the Lord. There was a particular way it was supposed to be mixed and certain ingredients that was done, and that's how God proclaimed it, because it was pure in God's sight. Done any other way was impure in God's sight. It was a representation of the purity and holiness of God, and if it wasn't done right, there were certain consequences. And Nadab and Abihu did it their own way, and God struck them, and it was basically Abraham remained silent because he knew the statute. So they were concerned that maybe if Zechariah went off and did a Nadab and Abihu thing, they would have to pull him back out and bury him right away. So that's kind of the reason we have this background, and it's sort of interesting. And as we begin to, as you read it here, you'll find out that they began to think about pulling him out of the temple. But here's what happens in verse 11. As these people in verse 10 were praying on the outside, the hour of incense, there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing at the side of the altar, on the right side of the altar of incense. Interesting, he's standing on the right side. And that you really have to wake up, because the right hand is the source of power, that kind of thing. That was generally understood. I just love this. Zechariah was troubled. Gee, I wonder why he's standing there on the right side of the incense. Oh. He was freaked out. He was really taken aback that this angel would begin to speak to him. And he says something that he struggles believing, as we will see. Apparently, verse 13, Zechariah and Elizabeth have been praying about a son for all of these years, and it is understood that they were well beyond childbearing years. Okay, like another couple we're going to look at in just a little bit. And it says, you will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. It's made easy. First they're going to get pregnant, and here's the name. You don't have to think of one. You don't have to look at all the books and figure out what name it was. You don't have to name him Junior. Nothing like that. His name is going to be John. Okay? Made it easy for you. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great before the Lord, which they really had to be stoked about. All right? Because the reason being is all the families of Israel were wondering if the Messiah would come through their lineage. That's what they wanted to know. So it was going to be honor. And so here it is. They understood that he was going to be great before the Lord. He was not the Messiah, but he was going to be great before the Lord.